A very warm welcome to everybody to Biblical Resources for the second Sunday of Easter. Our Gospel is John 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Initial observations. Today we hear one of the most widely remembered stories from the New Testament, the story of Doubting Thomas. It is interesting that that title has stuck, even though the point of the story is that Thomas actually arrives at faith. In this excerpt, we hear the substantial story of Thomas in two parts, followed by the first conclusion of the Gospel. Scholars often hold that chapter 21, while not original, was added very early and provides a second ending. Old Testament background. We read in Genesis 2:7, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." And we read in Wisdom 15:11, "Because they failed to know the one who formed them and inspired them with active souls and breathed a living spirit into them." And we read in Psalm 35 verse 23, "Wake up, bestir yourself for my defence, for my cause, my God and my Lord." What kind of writing have we here? This symbolic narrative explores several dimensions of Easter faith. Number one, the gifts of the risen Lord, the Holy Spirit, peace, joy and forgiveness. Two, the identity of the risen one with the crucified one. And three, the blessedness of all who believe, elimination of any distinction between present believers and the very first generation of Christians. All three are important. Later generations may have felt that earlier Christians who actually encountered the risen Lord were somehow more fortunate. Even more important, a later Christian heresy, Docetism, which denied the reality of Jesus' humanity and its continued significance after the resurrection, is countered by the realism of the body of Jesus raised. New Testament foreground. Number one, new creation in Christ is reflected in the layout of this gospel, which starts with an echo of Genesis 1:1. Jesus' last words on the cross are an echo of Genesis 2:2. John 20, verse 1, explicitly recalls Genesis 1:1 again, and in the breathing, Genesis 2:7 is echoed. Number 2. Holy Spirit Advocate. In the fourth gospel, there is a wonderful and deep presentation of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. A single verse may give an idea of what is at stake. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 7:39. It is simply not true that as yet there was no Spirit. Yet, the function of the Holy Spirit in the light of the Paschal Mystery is now so new, so different, that it is as if there had been no Spirit before. And we read in John 14:26, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you." Compare John 16:7. And number three, peace. We read in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Some inspiration from St. Paul, the beginnings of Romans 5, verses 1 to 2. "Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of God's glory." A brief commentary. Verse 19. "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" The first day, that is, the day of creation. Jesus' self-presentation is not limited by their fear. Peace here is the Easter good news of victory over death and fear of death. Verse 20. "After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord." That is, the risen one is the crucified, and the crucified is the risen one. Jesus is both the same and utterly transformed. The first gift was peace, the second gift is joy. Verse 21. "Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.'" This is repetition for emphasis. "As" should read "just as" and means much more than a formal similarity. Jesus' very own mission from the Father continues in the mission of the disciples. Verse 22. "When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" This is an echo of creation. The third gift is the Holy Spirit in the new role of advocate and reminder. A new creation in Christ is a strong early Christian experience and proclamation. Many texts, you can read Galatians 6:15. Verse 23. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The next gift to all believers is forgiveness of sins. Verse 24. "But Thomas, who was called a twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." Thomas featured earlier in the Gospel, in John 11, 16 and 14, 5. Verse 25. So the disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails of his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." The question is, believe what? That he is risen? That it is the same Jesus? We shall see. Verse 26. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." That is the eighth day, that is today. And the same gift of peace is underlined. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." The risen Lord takes the initiative by meeting the heartfelt questions and doubts of Thomas. Verse 28. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is the highest proclamation of Jesus' identity in this gospel. Thus, deepest doubt can be the direct road to deepest faith. The words also counter the propaganda of the Roman emperors, one of whom wished to be addressed as "our Lord and our God," no less. Verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is a beatitude, one of the 27 New Testament such beatitudes. Most likely, the writer is meeting an anxiety at the time of writing, when the third and fourth generations of Christians feel that the difference in time from the events of salvation puts them at something of a disadvantage. As R.S. Thomas puts it in his marvellous poem, The Kingdom, "It's a long way off, but to get there takes no time, and admission is free, if you will purge yourself of desire, and present yourself with your need only, and the simple offering of your faith, green as a leaf." Verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. This is the first ending of the gospel and is a frank admission that the writer has selected. The second ending is in the same vein. We read in John 21:25, "But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Verse 31. "But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." This is a key text for understanding the nature of the Gospels, and in particular the kind of text which the fourth Gospel is. The goal is a true understanding of the identity of Jesus, so that believers may live in him. Pointers for prayer. Number 1. "Peace be with you" was the greeting of Jesus on meeting his frightened apostles. Who has come to you bringing peace at times when you were afraid? And to whom have you been able to bring peace? Number 2. Thomas, doubting and questioning, is possibly a person with whom we can identify. What part of doubting and questioning played on your faith journey? How has your faith been strengthened by such moments? Number 3. Note the way that Jesus dealt with Thomas. He did not give out because he doubted. He accepted how he felt and led him along to see the truth of his resurrection. Who has been that kind of teacher for you, gently taking you from where you were, and leading you to a deeper knowledge about some truth about life? And for whom have you been that kind of teacher? Number 4. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." That requires great trust. Perhaps you have had the experience of being trusted without having to justify every step along the way. What was it like to be trusted in that way? Who have you been able to trust in a similar manner? Prayer. God of life, source of all faith, through the waters of baptism you have raised us up in Christ and given us life that endures. Day by day, refine our faith, that we who have not seen the Christ may truly confess him as our Lord and God, and share the blessedness of those who believe. Grant this through Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen. Thought for the day. How did any of us make the journey towards faith in Christ? No doubt a great part of it is simply what we received, usually from family. At some point, did I make a conscious choice? Perhaps at other times I felt like walking away from the faith project. What kept me going? Did a more personal ownership of faith result? Perhaps I felt the intuition of John O'Donohue. Faith is helpless attraction to the divine. In spite of everything, in spite of myself, somehow it is part of who I am. Prayer. Mysterious God, we are those who have seen and at the same time not seen. Help us to look beyond the simple gifts of each day to see you, the giver behind and in every gift. Help us to embrace the grace that we may know true blessedness in believing. Amen. Thanks very much, everybody.